Welcome to In the Shadow of the Evening Trees. I'm Jennifer Von Ebers.
I'm David Von Ebers.
And this is episode 28 already.
It is.
Which is kind of crazy that we already have 28 episodes. We started the podcast and it started and then we took a long pause.
Yeah.
Now we've been back in the groove on a regular basis and I think it feels good.
We started it and then we decided that you people weren't worth it.
We're done with you.
Not really. Just that things were getting heavy in the world. And so, yeah, we backed off for a while. It took us a long time to come back start up again. But by the way, just as an aside, we did take another break, but that was because we were on vacation.
And that's true.
We had a lot going on.
And I think because everyone's doing a podcast now, we just had to get back in the game.
I said, I jokingly said on my own a dumb thing. I said that, you know, it's the famous Andy Warhol quote that everyone in the future, everyone will have a podcast for 15 minutes.
I think that's true, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it is one of the things that is popular to listen to, especially because nobody really drives around anymore and listens to the radio or things like that. So I think a lot of people just like to listen to podcasts.
I've actually been involved in two prior to now, because many years ago, we'll have to put a link. Well, we mentioned our friend Tim Coromo,
yes,
who has his own podcast that we record.
Who was our mentor.
He was our mentor. He records and posts it every Sunday. And for a brief period of time, I co-hosted it with him and another fellow named Joe Santorsa. Joe is still a co-host with him. And they've been doing it for years and years and years. And then for a very brief period of time, I was a co-host of a sports-related podcast that didn't last very long. Unfortunately, we called it Sports Ball. But that has unfortunately gone into the dustbin of history. But it was fun while it lasted.
You were ahead of when it wasn't as popular.
That's true.
You're in the early stages of the podcasting.
That's true. When we did, I don't remember how we did Sports Ball. It's kind of funny to think. But when we did when I would do Tim's show years ago, we did it by Skype. Although we didn't do video, it was just audio. But it worked really well, and Tim is very professional, so he knows what he's doing, unlike
us. And
with
the Sports Ball, everybody was in different states, right?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. There was a guy named Aaron Rand Freeman who was in California, if I remember correctly. And our other host, Shane Paul Neal, was in the New York, New Jersey area. And I was in Chicago. And that was kind of part of the idea, was that we were spread out around the country and we had we were fans of different things and, you know, we were into different sports. I was super into hockey. Actually, I guess I still am.
Yeah.
I still am. I like hockey, but unfortunately that was back when there was a lot of hockey to root for in Chicago and not so much anymore.
We actually watched a little bit of we watched the end of the hockey game last night for the Stanley Cup,
yep.
Which as soon as I turned it on, and I have not watched any hockey game all year pretty much. And
yeah,
then
we really didn't watch any this
when
year.
When it got closer to when it first came on, I was like, who's in the Stanley Cup? Once I knew who was in it, then when I saw last night, it was they were up 4-1 or something like that, and they had 4-1 was the score. I was like, okay, they're gonna win it tonight.
I want to say, maybe I'm wrong, I think at the second intermission they were up 5-1. The Golden Knights were up 5-1, and they ended up winning 9-3. It was pretty crazy. We stayed. Of course, you know, that's funny because it ended right around 10 o'clock Chicago time, so 10 o'clock Central time. But in Las Vegas, it was only, 8 o'clock in
evening. Light out.
Yeah. We watched, when the Blackhawks were in the thick of it, 2010, 2013, 2015, and for years prior to that and after that when they were good, we would stay up until, 2-3 in the morning watching some of those playoff games because, you know, the Blackhawks are in the Western Conference, which sounds a lot, but that's because the original six NHL teams only went from, New York, the Rangers. I almost said the Islanders. Whoops. The Rangers in the East and the Blackhawks in the West. I mean, that was the geographical span of the original six. So anyway, the Blackhawks are in the Western Conference, so they'd always end up playing, you know, in the Western Conference final, they or the Western Conference playoffs, they'd be playing Colorado, they'd be playing, you know, Winnipeg, they'd be playing Vancouver, and you know, those games would be or the Kings, and those games often started at 9 o'clock our time.
Yep.
And then would go, you know, into multiple
overtimes. And we were hardcore weekday staying up till absolutely. It was over. We were not going to go to bed until it was over. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, we watched many.
And I actually just had a remembrance of when you had your Blackhawks jersey on and Claire had hers on.
Yeah, although technically we call them sweaters.
Yes.
By the way, I have to say, and I mentioned this the other night, I think that I almost said the Avalanche. Whoops. The Golden Knights home sweaters, which are you know, a little bit glittery,
bedazzled.
Yeah, very, very appropriate for Pride Month. So, yes. Way to go, guys!
Yes,
way to go.
That is true.
Sorry about that, but yeah, I miss the Blackhawks doing well. I miss the Bulls doing well. I miss the Cubs doing well.
The Bears.
The Bears, at least. I feel like the Bears at least have some hope.
So here's a
because
funny...
Because of Justin Fields.
That's anyway. True, but here's a funny story. So as most of you know, the Chicago Bears were talking about moving to another location. Arlington Heights was one of them. I think they had a deal on something, or they were talking about it, then they backed out of that.
Right.
And then there Naperville is like, we'll take you and everything. And just yesterday, we saw that they are looking... I don't even know if they're looking or this town is looking for the Bears to come. Waukegan, which is very close to us.
It's very close to us, and it's actually also my mother's hometown, as it turns
yes.
out. What's funny about it, so there is, you know, what the city of Waukegan was saying is that they have a fair amount of land, you know, that's more or less available right by the shore of Lake Michigan. And if you know anything about Chicago geography, Soldier Field actually is not too far from the lake, so there's, you know, some, I guess it might seem like an appropriate place to be. But I don't know exactly how that would work. And, you know, we're a good 50 miles from the Loop. Now, of course, the reality is most Bears fans are probably suburbanites anyway.
True.
But I don't know, you know, I mean, football tickets are very expensive. I don't know how many people are driving up. You know, are going to drive up to Waukegan to go to a game. My
they
feeling
could go
is,
to Great America.
Yeah, right. Well, people go to Great America, which is nearby. My feeling is we would literally have to hunker down and not go anywhere if the Bears were playing in Waukegan, because there's a main road that goes near us, which we will not, we don't want to give too many details. We don't want people
but
stalking
lots of
us.
Restaurants and shops and.
Well, no, but I'm thinking just the traffic, the
oh,
sheer
yeah.
volume of
that's
the traffic
true.
On this main road near us that happens to kind of head into Waukegan. So, yeah, we would have to hunker down. We'd have to start doing our grocery shopping on Saturdays instead of Sundays.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's
you
a
know,
long ways to go, and who knows what's going to happen. I don't even know why they don't want to play in Chicago.
I'll anymore. Never forget. Yeah, well, it's all just money and politics. But Soldier Field is, you know, it's an old, old, old stadium, and I think they're looking for something new and bright and shiny. But I'll never forget. This is a true story. When I was a young lawyer, I used to travel a lot. I was working for a really big firm called Jenner & Block, and they're still, like, they're huge. Now they're all over the world. But we would travel a lot, and we had this is a true story. We had a case where we represented the Home Shopping Network in a lawsuit against the local telephone provider, GTE. And we would go down to St. Petersburg all the time, which is where Home Shopping Network had set up this big high-tech campus where they, I think they still use today, where they film from and all that. In any event, so I happened to be down there one time, and it was a weeknight, and you know, I'm watching the news because I'm bored, and it happened to be at the time when the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, were threatening to leave Chicago, and they were basically planning to go to St. Petersburg.
Were they being wined and dined?
They were being wined and dined, and they were threatening to leave, and the Illinois General Assembly passed some sort of a bill that gave them tax incentives and this, that, and the other thing, encouraging them to stay. But the funniest part about it was, so there was a like a midnight deadline, that like the legislative session ended at midnight. And I'm in Florida, so watching all this on TV. And by the way, the local news covered all this live. Like, this is well after the local news broadcast ended.
So they were just hanging on and there were live reports, right? That's hilarious.
There were live reports from Springfield, Illinois, where it's our state capital. And so as it gets closer and closer to midnight Central Time, which is of course 1 a.m. in Florida, they literally, and this is a true story, in Springfield, they literally turned the clocks back. So the clocks kept running, so it wasn't quite midnight yet. And eventually they passed this big, you know, package of incentives for the White Sox to stay in Chicago. You would have thought this was the greatest political scandal of all time. I mean, you have to understand, this predates baseball in Florida. The Marlins weren't there, the Rays weren't there. And so, and people in Florida were like really hungry for baseball,
yeah,
because a lot of the major league teams did their spring training in Florida, and to have this big, you know, thing every spring where all these teams come down there and play, and then not to have a major league team was a source of great angst for the Floridians. But they lost their minds over this, over the political shenanigans in Springfield, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding.
Right.
That is absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
You'd really be surprised to find the kind of stunts we pull on a regular basis, you know. Chicago, in particular, is the home of the great political expression, we don't want to talk to nobody, nobody sent. So it was very funny to watch.
And so then, obviously, then at the, when that, they just said, we're not going to.
Oh, move. Yeah, the White Sox, yeah, they built a new stadium. They built what was.
Which was called, I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, we don't know what it's called anymore. It was once called the new Comiskey Park. And the, see, we're Cub fans. We're not White Sox fans. I don't have any animosity towards.
I do
the
not
Sox.
Either.
I rooted for them in 2005.
We've run by it.
we've run that marathons.
Was, yeah, when we did the Chicago Marathon twice, David made me do it twice. I'm kidding.
I had nothing to do with it. You decided.
I did.
You
decide.
Were copying.
I know.
Me.
I know. But you invited me, and I accepted.
that's probably true.
But that was when the reality set in the first time. We don't think of like 26.2 miles, how far that is. We ran past Wrigley Field and then the same day ran past Sox Park.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is insane. Why am I doing this?
Sox Park, by the way, is the correct way to refer to it. That's the way we always referred to it when we were kids. It was Sox Park and Cubs Park. We didn't worry about Wrigley Field and Comiskey Park.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. So it would be interesting to see if the Bears left. I mean, I have to say, you know, if they ended up in a place like Waukegan, I'm sure at some point we would probably manage to get to a game. And so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think I've only ever been to Bears preseason games. I don't know if I've ever been to a regular season game at Soldier Field.
Can I tell the story of when I did a halftime show at the
you
Chicago
can.
Bears when I was in high school? Oak Park River Forest High School. Go Huskies. You got to say that when everybody says such.
Huck 'em Huskies. Wait, no. A friend of mine got in trouble for creating a poster with that slogan and putting it up at homecoming. And somehow we used to say Buck Fishigan all the time, so I don't know why that was. But anyway.
I digress. but I got to perform the Super Bowl. The year they won the Super Bowl, I got to perform on the field an 8-minute routine in January.
Just by yourself?
Just me. and 40 other ladies. Got to do, we shared the locker room with the Honey Bears. I don't even know the Honey Bears. They don't even exist anymore.
They don't. They actually got rid of them not long
ago. But it
after
was quite
that.
Exciting. And the funny part is now with security and like going through everything, my dad has was a photographer, an avid photographer. He got down on the field. He was next to Mike Ditka. I mean, he was just like insane, taking all these pictures on the field. Nobody stopped him because he had a camera. But nowadays, obviously, you couldn't be able to do that. But and obviously, we didn't know at the time that was the year that they're going to win the Super Bowl. So it was very exciting.
Well, you might
have. And chilly.
you might have. A lot of people were pretty sure they would. That was the year they beat Dallas in Dallas, something like 44 to nothing. And then they turn around and they beat the Giants like 36 to nothing or something like that. You know, they basically scored 80 on two of the best NFC teams in the league.
So it's a good indication.
Yeah, the only regular season game they lost was to Miami. And there's a lot of feelings about that game where maybe they actually, not that they threw the game, but they consciously played a very different, you know, offense so that, because everybody assumed that the Super Bowl, this was late in the season, and by this point I think everybody assumed the Super Bowl was likely to be the Bears in Miami because the Dolphins were really good that year. Till Champagne Tony Eason mowed him down. Tony Eason was the starting quarterback for the Patriots that year, and he's called Champagne Tony because he went to my alma mater, the University of Illinois.
I did not know that.
yeah, and the Patriots beat the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game, which anyway, whatever. And then we know what happened with the Bears. But the theory of the Miami game, it was like a Monday night game, or maybe it was one of those weird Thursday night special Monday night football, special edition of Monday night football on a Thursday at a special time, or whatever the hell they used to say. Anyway, whatever it was, they lost. And the theory, I think, was that Mike Ditka purposely, like, completely redesigned the offense because he didn't really care if they lost. He didn't want them to be prepared when the Super Bowl came around. You know, that's the thing. I mean, Mike Ditka was kind of like that.
Interesting.
Mike
I didn't
Ditka
know that.
was a little bit, he was fluky. He would do some strange things. So that is, it's a believable theory. And I also think it's a theory that a lot of Chicago Bears fans wanted to believe. I don't think I've talked this much about sports in a long time.
I know. And I can't believe you remember some of the scores.
I remember everything. I mean, I don't remember everything, but when it comes to...
It's a huge year like that, and obviously that's a big deal.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of fun. I'll never forget. But I think it's basically like sitting in bed watching the Bears beat the Rams in that NFC title game. And it started snowing at Soldier Field. Yeah, they shut out both the Giants and the Rams in the playoffs. You know, before that it was a much simpler format back then. That was when Sean Landetta muffed on a punt in Soldier Field, and it was one of the more humorous moments in the history of the Bears. And then they beat. They beat the Rams with Eric Dickerson, shut him out, and went to the Super Bowl and gave up a field goal and then went on to win 46-10, which at the time was the most lopsided Super Bowl score of all time. And then like a year later, the next year was the Giants, and I can't remember who they beat. And then a year or two after that, the 49ers beat Denver like 55-10 or 55-0 or so. So the Bears' record didn't last that long. But for a time, it was the most lopsided Super Bowl score. And by the way, what I mentioned, the Dallas game, the Bears beating Dallas 44-0. At that time, I don't think Dallas, well, maybe they had been shut out at home, but it was they'd never given up 44 points at home. They'd never lost by that wide of a margin. So it was pretty amazing.
All right. I don't know if you know the answer to this question. No. This is a sports question. It could be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But, okay, so Chicago obviously has football, basketball, baseball, two baseball teams. Has any, and they've all won World Series and hockey and the Stanley Cup and the Super Bowl and all that stuff. Is there any other city like Chicago who's had that dominance of all of their teams going all the way to the top?
Yeah, well, New York has. New York has, and But they only have one NBA title back in the 1970s with Phil Jackson, who ended up...
That is funny.
And Bill Bradley, who ran for president. Phil Jackson, who ended up being obviously the Bulls coach.
Then Chicago.
Boston, definitely, because obviously the Patriots have won a bunch of Super Bowls. The Celtics won many NBA championships. The Red Sox have won, and of course the Boston Bruins won a couple. Well, how many times did they win in this century? At least one, maybe two. I can't remember. The Blackhawks, they won once, and then the Blackhawks beat them a couple years later. Blackhawks beat them in 2015. But anyway, so Boston has for sure. Obviously, New York. I mean, the Yankees have won, you know, multiple World Series. The interesting thing is, I guess New York probably can also claim more than one baseball team to win the World Series. Did the Dodgers win when they were in Brooklyn? This I don't know.
I don't know.
But that's
okay,
the.
Okay, so Chicago's not the only one.
But then, however, New York does have a leg up, though, because they've had two football teams win the Super Bowl. Because of course the Jets did back in the
60s.
Oh yes. Yeah. So we did have that period of time. Okay, so from 1985-86, the 86 Super Bowl, until 2010, so a span of 25 years, right? The Chicago was the only team to win all of them, because the Bears won in 1986, the Bulls won six NBA titles in the 90s. The White Sox won in 2005.
Yes.
And then the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 2010. And then, you know, obviously the Blackhawks won 2010, 2013, and 2015. And then the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. So if you go for that 30-year span, 1986 to 2016, I'm not sure whether anyone else did it during that time frame, because for example with Boston, I do not think that the Celtics won a title during that. Oh no, wait, maybe I'm wrong about that, because I know the Celtics played the Lakers a couple of times in the late 80s, so maybe Boston did. But New York didn't, because during that stretch, of course, the Knicks did not win an NBA title.
There you go.
I don't know how I got.
But we got obviously are lucky that we've been able to witness so many wins, gigantic wins in our lifetime here in Chicago.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty hilarious because, you know, in the 60s and 70s, all the way up until about 1983, when the White Sox went to the playoffs, and in those days, you know, I mean, there were two divisions in each league, so you had one playoff round, and then you either, you know, won or lost. If you won, you went to the World Series. So there were a lot fewer opportunities, but the White Sox won in 83. And then, you know, both the Sox and the Cubs started going to the playoffs every few years and obviously eventually won World Series. The Bears got much better. There was a period of time, although they only won one Super Bowl, where they were the most dominant team in the league. You know, they had the most wins over a certain stretch, obviously the Bulls in the 90s. But when I was growing up, you know, the Blackhawks won a Stanley Cup in 61. I was born in 62, so I missed that. The Bears won an NFL pre-merger, pre-Super Bowl NFL title in, what, 63? And then from 63 all the way to 1985... you didn't have a championship. Well, no, the Chicago Sting won the soccer championship
right.
in 84.
Forgot about soccer. We know soccer.
Right, but really it was grim. And you had like the Blackhawks made it to the Stanley Cup final in 1971 and lost to Montreal in seven games. I only remember that because we were literally listening to Game 7 on a transistor radio at school. We had some like spring event at school in May, and we were listening to, before we went out on stage, we were listening to that game. The Bulls made it to the playoffs in the mid 70s and actually got pretty far, but they didn't win. The Bears made it in 78, But, you know, those were all kind of like one-off things. And then, you know, the Blackhawks made it to the final again in like 1993 or something like that, but they lost.
I do remember when the Bulls won one of their championships. I was either at my parents' house or at a friend's house, but driving back into the city, and I lived like right off of Damon in Lakeview, just south of Barry. But pretty much on Damon, driving back, every car was just honking their horns. And so I did too. Like everyone was just honking their horn. It was like the funnest drive home because everyone's just like, da, 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 you know, going crazy. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, those were pretty wild times. So they, you know, the big nemesis back then in the early 90s was the Pistons. The Bulls were the only team that actually could go toe-to-toe with the Pistons in those years where the Pistons won championships. But they, you know, they couldn't beat them, and they couldn't beat them, and they couldn't beat them. And then finally, they swept Detroit, and the Bulls are in the Eastern Conference in the NBA as opposed to Blackhawks in the Western Conference, but whatever. They swept Detroit. That was a game where game four, when there were only a couple minutes left and it was obvious the Bulls were going to win, all the starters, Bill Laimbeer and Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Rodman, they all walked off the court. They couldn't even stick around to like shake hands or whatever. It was a pretty low class move. But anyway, the Pistons had won two NBA titles in a row. The only team that actually challenged them along the way was the Bulls. The Bulls ended up winning 91, 92, 93. Then Jordan retired 94, 95. It was Houston, I think, both years. And then the Bulls won 96, 97, 98.
Very exciting.
And then I want to say San Antonio won the next two after that. So, but that stretch of championships was just insane.
It was.
And by the way, the Bulls should have beaten the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Final in, what, 85? I think it was 85, but we won't go into that alleged foul on John Starks where he got to shoot three free throws and the replay showed nobody even touched him. But we won't go into that. We won't go into the fact that the Knicks shouldn't have won that game and the Bulls should have closed out the series in New York and gone on to face, I guess, Houston in the NBA final.
Okay, yeah. We're going to forget about that.
I forget nothing. There is no one who is as petty as me when it comes to sports, and no one can hold a grudge like I can when it comes to sports.
For eternity.
For eternity.
Well, I do want to touch on, since by the time we record it next week, we will have passed Father's Day, so happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
It's just one of those things that it just kind of like, unfortunately, our fathers have both passed away. We all had great role models and our dads. I wish you the best happy Father's Day
thanks.
For 27 years.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
It is. What's funny is, so I had to do some, I'm not going into details. I had to do some home repairs. Kind of an emergent. I hurt myself.
Injury.
From a pair of pliers, I pinched my finger. But the specific repair is not important, except that it was something that had to be done, kind of an emergency, not a terrible emergency, but something that had to be done basically right away. And it would normally have been a very simple thing. It's the kind of repair that anybody who's ever owned a house has done, and like a lot of people who rented have probably also done. But this is my rant, and I went on Twitter to rant about it. So we went to one of these big box hardware stores that'll remain nameless. And the only reason why we went there is because it was close and we knew they would have what we needed and we could do it quickly and put this to bed. Otherwise, we would have gone to someplace like Ace Hardware or something else. But anyway, we go to the big box and we get what we need and we go home. And it's a disaster doing the repair, because everything you buy at those stores, the products are terrible. All of the parts are machined poorly. Everything is plastic instead of metal. Nothing goes together. And I'm kind of livid as I'm doing this thing that should have taken 5 minutes. You literally would have been able to do it 5 minutes, you know, not that long ago. And I'm steaming, because what I'm thinking of is, you know, these big box stores get away with it because they know they've basically driven all of the competition out of business. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, you'd have a neighborhood hardware store and they had reliable stuff. And you'd go, and if you had a question, you could ask somebody, whatever. I guess you can do that at the big box place, whatever. But so I got it finished, but I was really aggravated because it shouldn't have been that difficult. And it was just because they sold crappy stuff to us. So I went and I was kind of ranting, and I was doing it this way. I wasn't saying what the repair was or what or the store we went to or the parts or whatever. Didn't brand names or whatever. But I went on this rant, and a lot of people were liking it and this, that, and the other thing. And I, at the end, I'm like, well, the only consolation is my dad would be proud of this of this rant, you know? Because it's like, it's not like, you know, I mean, I'm not like some kind of tradesman or anything, but we do fix stuff around the house, yes. You know, simple things. We do know.
And both of our dads were very handy.
Yeah, and we know like the basics of how to do, you know, limited sorts of things. I mean, I'm not going to do a lot of.
I can call YouTube down.
Well, right. And there's that kind of thing too, right? But so we've done, I mean, I've replaced overhead lights and put in ceiling fans and things like that. I don't mess around much with electricity, but simple things like that. Anyway, little plumbing things. I'm probably the only person in the neighborhood who has both a seat wrench and a basin wrench. I almost forgot the term basin wrench because I've actually done some plumbing repairs. Anyway, long story short, I went on this little rant, and at the end of it, I thought, well, it's something my dad would say. So, you know,
so there's that
kind of that. Then I felt better about the whole thing.
Right, right.
I do have to mention one thing, and I don't care. We can go on as long as you want. But I do have to mention one thing that is unrelated to any of this, and it's sort of like crossing the streams. But, you know, I do a thing on The Clash, and I talk about The Clash a lot, and it's another thing, and I've talked about it before, and I won't bore you with it. But it is somewhat related to that in that. And you'll probably remember this musician. There's a guy from New York who's been in all kinds of different bands, but he also has played solo for many years. He's a singer-songwriter by the name of Jesse Malin. He's a guitar player. He happens to be a huge booster of The Clash, but also he's done all kinds of stuff to help support musicians through the pandemic, to help support, you know, like restaurant and bar staff. He's done fundraisers and all this stuff. Well, he apparently was out to dinner with some friends a couple weeks ago, and he suffered this very, very rare kind of stroke.
Oh no.
Actually in his spine. I've never heard of that before.
Yikes.
Right. He was out to dinner, he got up, he felt like a burning sensation, collapsed, fell to the ground. You know, couldn't move his legs, basically.
Yikes.
So he is basically, at this point, sort of paralyzed from the waist down. I mean, you know, he's going to go through rehab and hopefully get some of the movement back on this and the other thing. But the point of all of this is that, so, you know, he's been a struggling musician, you know, fairly successful, but even a successful musician struggles. And there was an article in Rolling Stone about this today. I think it was today. And we'll link to it in the article. There's a fundraiser for him. This is a guy who's done tremendous work to help other musicians and other artists and people in creative fields. So
that is good to know.
It would be good help. You know how I found out about it was Michael Imperioli.
From Sopranos.
From Sopranos is on Instagram. He's wisely not on Twitter, but he's on Instagram. And he posted, you know, he's from New York City, lives there and whatnot. So he posted a thing about Jesse Malin suffering this injury. Michael Imperioli is also a guitar player and he has a band and so forth. So I think there's some additional connection there. But really, really shocking.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, we don't, who knows what the long-term prognosis is. I just have to tell one story about Jesse Malin because I've liked him for a long time. But he was instrumental in some of the, what might have been the among the darkest days of the pandemic in August of 2020. He helped put together with a bunch of other artists an online tribute to Joe Strummer because he's a huge Clash fan. And we watched it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really, really cool. Jesse Malin was in there, Lucinda Williams, Bruce Springsteen, Eddie Vedder. I'm blanking. I mean, there's so many so different many. Artists, and they played cover versions of Clash songs and Joe Strummer songs. One of the real revelations was Lucinda Williams doing the Clash song "Straight to Hell." It was really amazing. But anyway, he was really instrumental in doing that, and you know, that was, again, that was a kind of, you know, he knew everybody was locked down in their homes, not being able to go out, not make music, not you know,
be with people,
be with other people. And he was one of the folks who was instrumental in putting that thing together. And for me, you know, at a difficult time, we had just sent our daughter off to college, mm-hmm. and didn't know what was going to happen,
if that was a good idea or not.
Right. And so that was kind of a bright spot in a difficult time. Anyway, you know, when you read more about him, he's always been involved in these events for other artists. And you know, as you can imagine, you know, most musicians don't have health insurance, right? Because they're basically self-employed, and, right. and so forth. And so there's an organization called Sweet Relief that raises money for artists, you know, to pay for medical bills and all this kind of stuff. And he's been involved with that. So anyway, just obviously wish him well, but we'll put a link in to the Rolling Stone article, which in turn has a link to a fundraiser for Jesse Mellon. But I just wanted to mention that because it's just a sad thing. And I mean, you know, the Rolling Stone guy who wrote the article interviewed him over the phone from the hospital. So he's, you know, he's okay. In the sense that he's still alive, but you know,
yeah, he's coherent.
Yeah, but does not know where it leads. Right, it's very scary.
Wow.
So anyway, that's that.
All right. Well, that's our episode, and it's just all over the place, but that's okay. Well, yep. we did. It was a segue into other things, so it did all connect. We wrapped it up in a bow at the end.
Right, or something.
Yeah. So thanks for listening tonight, or whatever time you're listening to this. And you can listen to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Correct. We'll edit that out.
Take that out. Right now.
Good night, okay, everybody.
Good night.